I'll just, as long as we have one more minute, Odie, do you want to show the VPD thing? Let's do it. Just one quick thing. I mean, one of the things we talked to Dr. Lessig about when I met with him and Rob in December was the idea of creating a PodSafe archive, which is we could offer musicians to come in and record in our studios, license their content so that we have distribution rights. And any, the problem that podcasters have in terms of generating audience is they can't use copyrighted music. So if we created, Ken talked about a PodSafe archive, a large store of music content that they could use, then it would build traffic to our sites, and I think a lot of artists would be very interested in having their content available through Pacifica sites for that purpose. And it's something that could be done easily and right away. The other point I really think we need to get to is this question of how different stations within the network have made decisions about what they're going to make available. But so Odie's going to talk now quickly, like a few minutes, about a program called Virtual Program Director that he's been working on. And I think that should do it. Is it up? No, there's no mics. There's no audio involved. No,
You had it a second ago. It was on. There we go.
It is on there, I think.
Kill, press the one.
No, upper left yes. Corner. Just push one.
this is the right one that has the web pages on it as well? Okay. All right. About 3 years ago, I think it was, Dave first came up with the idea that it might be nice for listeners and people who contribute to the station to be able to basically create their own version of a radio station on the net. And we have, 840 hours a week of content available through the five Pacifica stations. And of that, there's probably some notable stuff that that people would find interesting. So what we did about a month ago was decide to go ahead with it, and I spent some late nights creating this beginning this first cut of a system which would allow users, listener members, to basically create their own radio station, their own programming. So you can see what this says. Basically, stuff that we have available already that we allow them to use, they could put together to create their own mix of programming, which would then be available to listeners. Push the button. I don't do PowerPoint. There we go. Okay, I think that this covers, this particular slide covers what Ken has been saying and what Professor Lessig has been saying. People are listening on the net. That's one thing. And the other thing is people want to participate in this process. People have their own ideas. What you were saying about the kids, I mean, they're going to do it one way or another. And this is a tool that they can use to do that. So rather than read this, let's go to the next slide.
Well, for the online audience, why don't you...
Oh, yeah. Okay, for the online audience, I guess I should say this. Listening to digital audio is rising rapidly. We have two listeners online. Huge marketing campaigns promote listening through a variety of non-radio devices. I like that, non-radio devices. That would be your iPod. Listeners like listening on demand. iPods are all over the place. I could say stuff that I know about from the archive at KPFT. And you think about, I know my own personal preference in listening is I don't really want to listen to a download and construct my own listening. I want to hear what they're giving me. That So if I feel that way, I know at least six or seven other people feel that way. And they don't want to hunt through this. They want to listen to a station, not a show. They want to be basically fed. That's how we use radio. They have diverse preferences. Do we know that? Have we discovered in Pacifica that people have diverse preferences? If you make a program change, what happens? Yes. Okay. So basically, we could get these individual virtual program directors to create their own stations. And one of the interesting things, where is it? I don't know what's forward. Oh, down. Okay, cool. One of the things that this can do, obviously, is create potentially another revenue stream. If you become a member of KPFT, thank you, Dwayne. I'm from Houston. You can create your own online programming. And this very potentially could appeal to some people. How would we find out? Well, we do it and see. It excites the interest and effort of listener sponsors who would like to share what they love most. Do we get calls at KPFT from people saying, "That's my favorite show"? Yeah. And I guess everybody goes through that. Encourage, and we obviously, if somebody creates their own mix, they're going to tell their friends. How would we do if we had everybody make a phone call to three friends saying, "Hey, you ought to listen to Pacifica"? And the secret plan is that then we can find out all kinds of information about actual listening. Programming is about the mix. That's what we deal with when we program the station. So what we get out of this new toy, we can look at the effect of a given mix on listenership. That would be extremely valuable data for programming. More programming space. Right. New programmers can announce their shows to the family and get the VPDs involved and say, "Hey, come on, put this on your stream because you got a really popular one." And obviously, if people enter the Pacifica world through these virtual program director streams, then they become, you know, we get the 10%. We get more potential donors. Okay. So when it gets down to the nuts and bolts, the listener sponsor says, "I want to be a VPD." We control who becomes a VPD. We allow them to do it. They have a pool of content that they can pick from to put on the air in their mix. They get a home page, which also has a link on the master page. I'll show you in just a second. And then people can go and listen to these virtual stations, see what's there, see what they like, and we start getting the data. This page here is kind of a sample of the kind of information of what the master page would look like. This could be on a station page, a link on a station page, or on the Pacifica page. And what we see is a list. Now, folks, this is programming stuff. So I put some silly things here. Please indulge me. It might not look like that. You can see there are two streams just that I set up. So you have the name of the stream and you have what they're currently playing. Those links would go to a page like this one. The individual virtual program directors would have a page showing, you know, they could have a picture, their picture, picture of something relevant to them. There's the genre. In this case, it's talkative. There's a description. It could be as long as they want. You have a list of all of the things that they've included in their virtual station. You see which one is now playing, and you can listen as a playlist. You can listen to the stream, which is continuing to play as though you were tuning into a radio station, and you also have the podcast, the playlist. How many of you know what a playlist is? It's a way of, when you click on a link, you'll get a list of programs that will show up in whatever you're using to listen to. And the difference between that and the stream is that the playlist is always going to start at the beginning, but the stream is going to be continuing, so you could pick it up anywhere. If you ask me why have both, my answer is because I'm not sure how people want to use it. I would like to find out. Do people prefer a playlist? Do they prefer a stream? I personally prefer a stream. I think it's more interesting. I guess now we wrap it up and kind of give the commercial. Obviously, our policy on licensing all of the information that we've gotten here today, Ken's experience, other people's experience with listening, is going to affect what we choose to allow people to use and what the restrictions and policies for this would actually be. That's something the board's going to have to determine. One of the things that's possible with this is that we will be able to access almost from anywhere. So we could potentially have a Pacifica list that includes content from affiliates, content from Ken Friedman, whoever wants to participate in this process, the system itself will allow that. So that pool can be huge, and we have control over it. So when I talk about the pool, I'm talking about the pool of available content. That's it.
Thank you.
Question?
Can we have the lights?
Mary has a question.
Okay, go ahead. We probably don't have much time.
Look, I'm going to be here all weekend.
I just want to know.
I can show you the thing online, yeah. So I don't know if this is the best time to do
it. Yeah, I just want to know, is this available now? Is this still a work in progress? Is this something that's ready to go out the door right now? Or
Dwayne and I have talked a little bit. We might work something out so that it would show up on KPFT. Right now it's on KPFTX, just as a sample tool. It's based on the archive right now, but it's written in such a way that we could also be able to access stuff from, for instance, the KPFA archive, which is totally different from mine. So, yeah, we just have to work out the deal and say, okay, you know, you want to be part of it? Okay, I need this information. And then that gets put into the system.
And one thing I wanted to say is WBAI right now has the most expansive archiving policy. So they make 90 days back of their public affairs programming available. So if BAI wanted to test this out, they've already got a pool of content that's big enough that this could be implemented immediately. It could be advertised in fund drives as an option, and it could be something that might help their financial situation very quickly.
Yeah, I just want to say that we could do the same thing with KPFT, because right now both KPFT and WBAI are running the archive that I wrote, and it, you know, obviously I set it for that.
Okay. We have on Sunday a section, a thematic dialogue on licensing and distribution and web interfaces, where we might continue this, but I know that there are going to be a lot of other things that are going to come up during the course of the weekend, so I don't know how much time we'll actually have available for that. But I just wanted a sense of consensus about whether the board has an interest. We're not in a business meeting right now, so we're not holding any votes. But does the board have an interest in asking our executive director to continue to work with Dr. Lessig and discuss with the board some of these licensing issues and how we might discuss appropriate licensing for our content that would be suitable to our values and our economic models? Is there general consensus on that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, hopefully we can think of craft a motion that would express more concretely that. Dr. Lessig, I know your time is very precious and hard to get. Is that something you're interested in continuing?
Completely, totally interested. We have a lot of resources to help develop this, and so I'd be happy to.
And you're based in the Bay Area, correct?
Right.
Our September board meeting's in Berkeley. Ken, do you have any interest in continuing and in being in discussion about these kinds of things with us? And
yeah, definitely.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, everybody, for being involved with this. And And with that, this concludes the public portion of our retreat. We're going to be doing some training on issues of anti-racism and with a wonderful group. I understand the name is the Institute for Survival and Beyond. We're going to be in session until 5:30. We'll have a couple of breaks during that time, then a one-hour break for dinner. We'll start our public session of our business meeting at 6:30 p.m. And thanks very much, everybody.